Welcome back to the program, and it is my great pleasure to introduce someone I met when he was in San Francisco just a couple of weeks ago, talking about what's going on in Israel in terms of their environmental awareness, action, climate change. Water has forever been a primary issue and concern in Israel. So Jay was kind enough to join me on the program today, and in the remaining 12 minutes we have, Jay, I know it's a big subject area, but I want to welcome you, and at least let's start with some headlines, and we can always have you back another time to, pardon the expression, drill down a bit.
Thank you very much, Betsy. Happy to be here.
And I should mention that you are the executive director of the Green Environment Fund, and that is a leading philanthropic consortium supporting Israel's environmental movement. How long has Israel had an environmental movement? How robust is it, or where does it need to go and quickly?
The environmental movement in Israel really got going in the early 90s as a strong movement with massive immigration from the former Soviet Union and a lot of stressors on the environment. And it's progressed since then. I think today it's a lean, mean, but sophisticated movement. And I like to call it the sustainability movement. We're moving away from traditional environmentalism and towards a triple bottom line sustainability.
And you wrote an article recently saying, for the bar mitzvah of the new century, that means 13 years old, a grown-up agenda, sustainability. I often use and hear, you know, environment and sustainability used interchangeably. What's your distinction in using sustainability versus environmental?
Sustainability is, I said, it's with a triple bottom line. It's not just about environmental sustainability. It's not about the environment. I think the environmentalists and the traditionalist agenda sort of does a disservice. It's not about saving the planet. In fact, let's stop saving the planet and save ourselves. Sustainability then refers not to just environmental sustainability, but economic sustainability, making smart, sustainable economic choices and how we produce our energy and, for example, the consumer culture around us, and social sustainability. We need government and municipalities to have transparent decision-making processes and have maximum participation of the citizenry. Those three things together, environmental, economic, and social, combined to create sustainability in my view.
Jay, you've been in Israel for quite some years, but as your accent reveals, you were raised here in the States. You wrote an article November 1st, just days after Superstorm Sandy hit, saying our leaders must choose climate silence or science. Were you talking about our American leaders or our Israeli leaders, since I suspect you have dual citizenship?
I do. I've been in Israel 27 years, from upstate New York originally, and I was referring really to all our leaders globally, but the interesting confluence in early November was the onset of the American presidential elections and the beginning of the Israeli national election campaign. And in neither of those election campaigns was climate change, was sustainability an issue whatsoever, and I feel that was a big oversight for all of our leadership.
Absolutely, and since we've talked on this program extensively about the omission during the presidential election here, tell us why you think it was ignored in Israel. I know there's always that survivability, you know, as a top priority, as it should be, but this is, you know, sustainability is part of, if not survivability, thrivability.
Yeah, in Israel it's true, we have a very crowded public agenda. War and peace, life and death, the Palestinian conflict, then of course the whole religion-state issues and the outsized influence of the ultra-Orthodox in Israeli society. It was a very crowded agenda for the Israeli Knesset elections and the national leadership there, so environmentalism, sustainability got kind of ignored.
Hmm. And what is happening with natural gas in Israel? Do you have the supplies that we're tapping into now in this country for better and worse?
Oh, yeah. Israel just came online a couple weeks ago with a major natural gas field that is now open for production. And we're facing two major issues there. The environmentalists, the sustainability movement, is concerned both about the regulatory issues around the safe extraction. We can't afford an accident in the Mediterranean Sea. The drilling is much deeper, for example, than in the Gulf of Mexico. And unlike the Gulf, the Mediterranean is a closed body of water, so any spills, any accidents would be horrendously damaging to the natural environment. But also the issue we face is, and this is where it relates to economic sustainability, The tycoons who discovered the gas and are certainly entitled to their profits want to export most of it for their own for foreign currency reserves for Israel and for their own profits. But we hope that the government will make a decision very soon, and we hope that decision will be that we will use that natural gas over the next 50 years in Israel to both produce our electricity and to transform our transportation fleet to running on natural gas. All of that would be a great boon to Israeli health, the public health situation, reducing carbon emissions within Israel. It's an important issue for Israeli society right now.
Now, this is maybe a naive question, but does Israel import any oil from Arab countries?
Israel used to import oil and natural gas from Egypt, but those lines of supply have been disrupted. Currently, Israel produces some of its electricity from coal, which it imports, some of it from oil and diesel, and we want to move to the much cleaner natural gas, but not ignore, and this has been a problem, the whole renewable issue. Israel, parts of Israel, 340 to 350 days a year of sunshine. We produce at this point only about 1% of our electricity from renewable sources, and the government is committed to upping that to 10% by 2020, which is also a poor goal, but we're hoping that will come to fruition soon. And we're hoping the natural gas can actually push that off the plate.
Considering you're in the middle of the desert, why not more solar panels?
Yeah, well, all kinds of issues. Israel's great at sort of innovating these inventions. Israel pretty much invented solar power in the 70s and then exported it all to California. But we do have solar panels on our solar heating on our rooftop, and that's been a law in Israel since the early 70s. So, you know, we heat our water that way, but that's really all we do. With the regulatory issues, the bureaucracy, it's just we haven't been favorable towards the renewable energy.
And that's interesting, because to switch gears a little bit, I want to talk about Shai Agassi's Better Place and find out the fate of that, you know, innovative car company where the batteries are changed out. It was, you know, started as kind of a pilot in Israel, I believe, in Finland and maybe Belgium or something. Israel being a good place to start, not only because that's where Shai Agassi's from, but also because it's a smaller country and presumably easier, you know, to get regulations passed for this kind of thing.
Right. It was a really promising story, but it's turning into a sad story. And I know my friends at Better Place disagree, and everybody's trying to maintain optimism. And, you know, it's not dead yet, but so far the business model has not proven itself in Israel. It's true. Israel is a great beta site for this type of thing. They originally wanted to launch also in Silicon Valley and in Denmark and in Australia and in Japan, but right now it's down to just Israel and Denmark, and the sales of cars is not going well. But they do think they've built already some 30 changing stations in Israel, but 40 changing stations the whole country is covered. But the sales are slow. Consumers haven't picked up on it yet. And we're not really clear whether it's the business model of the Shai Agassi developed or the actual implementation. But the people in Better Place are maintaining optimism, and hopefully it'll turn a corner soon. And Israel will once again be a font of innovation, the first country to be fully automated through electric cars.
Because in this country, we've just recently seen the apparent demise of Fisker, one of the, you know, sexy electric car company providers, and Tesla is always struggling. Elon Musk always seeming to hang on by, you know, his fingernails, but they seem to be turning a corner. So electric cars, especially the snazzier versions, the newest technology, seem to be having a mixed impact.
They are. And the real solution right now, I believe, is, and Israeli innovation could do this in a jiffy, I believe, we need to turn our entire transportation fleet into natural gas electric hybrids. If we do that, we'll have much, much cleaner cars, cleaner center cities, reduced air pollution, and now that we're almost energy independent with all this natural gas, it would be a great boon for the Israeli economy and psychology, I would say.
And just before we leave the subject of Better Place, because that is so innovative, it's always a catch-22 situation. I remember hearing Shai Agassi speak the Fortune Green Business Conference a couple years ago and a few other places. You know, you need to get buy-in and real investment to create the infrastructure to have these changing stations. But you say 30 out of 40 potential have been built. So was it in part because the car didn't run well or just too expensive? What do you think really undermined it? Success in Israel.
So especially the 1,000 or so people that have so far purchased or leased those cars, is very, very high. Everybody's very happy. I took one on a test drive out on Tel Aviv. It's a beautiful drive. If you don't mind missing the smell of the grease paint and the sound of the changing of the gears, you have to get used to that if you're raised in America with all that. But it's a great ride. It's a great car. I don't know exactly why. Nobody really knows exactly why the consumers haven't taken on. One of the problems in their business model was that about 40% of the cars on the road in Israel are leased through companies. It's a very common perk in workplaces to give a car. And rather than going for that market originally, they went for the individual car owners. And it's complicated. It means you have to put in a plug, a charging station, both at your home. It's ideal to have one at work. Those things are not easy to do. Requires, if you live in an apartment building, requires your neighbors to agree. Lots of issues, and it's still an open book as to why it's not succeeding and whether it, in fact, will succeed.
Okay, we have 2 minutes left before we have to close this program, this book, this audio book, and I have to ask you about the big issue, water. You say desalination is working.
Israel, I like to say, and some of my friends in the movement disagree with me, but Israel really no longer has a water problem. We have bet big on desalination. We have one major desalination plant already working, another two in the works coming online in the next couple years. Plus, we reuse 80% of our water, far more than any country in the world. We have very innovative technologies to reuse that water for water efficiency. Although in electricity we don't have a smart grid at all. We have a stupid grid. In terms of our water use, we have a very smart grid. So even when we desalinate this water, although it doesn't contain trace minerals, when you open your tap, you'll never be getting pure desalinated water. It'll always be mixed with the fresh water we have in our aquifers. So Israel doesn't have a water problem anymore. What it has is an energy problem, because this desalination is extremely energy intensive to do, and although we have natural gas, it's still a fossil fuel, and it's not an ideal situation to have to rely so much on energy to produce your water, but it's better than having a water shortage.
Jay, I'm glad you're a fast talker, because we hit on all the major topics, but I would like to have you on another time so we can go into a little bit more detail. Thanks for being such an expert on these issues, it's environmental challenges in Israel, a part of the country that certainly American Jews feel very close to. I have had a couple of Israeli environmental experts on, but their accents were so thick it was hard to hear them. So glad you speak American. Thanks so much, Jay.
Sorry I speak New York. Thank you very much, Betsy.
Jay Shofet heads the Green Environmental Fund in Israel. That does it for this edition of the Green Front. Be back next week with another great show. Hope you've enjoyed this one. Please share the website, prn.fm, or my website, thegreenfront.com, to hear the entire interviews on today's program. Have a great Green Week.
But we can turn it around. The green just comes again. We can turn it around.